League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Setlist, the music business podcast from CMU. This week, Stability AI exec resigns over fair use claim. Welcome to Setlist, the music business podcast from CMU. I'm Andy Malt. With me is Chris Cook. Hello, Chris.
Hello there.
As ever, we're going to take a look back at some of the biggest and most interesting music industry news stories of the last week. A week when it was announced that Warner Music is working on a new Edith Piaf animated biopic, which will see an AI-generated clone of the late singer's voice narrate the movie.
Yes, good news for fans of Edith Piaf who are only interested in new content which she narrates herself. Because we wouldn't want to be giving any work to other French performers or actresses. No, let's get the machines to do it so that it's in her voice. So this is the latest use of generative AI by the music industry. And the boss of Warner Music France, Alain Vail, issued a statement. He observed that Edith is one of France's greatest ever artists and she is still the source of so much pride to the French people. I'm assuming he checked, and that means every single French person. He wouldn't make a statement like that without reaching out.
Every single one.
To every single one. But he did admit that while it's exciting to be using newfangled generative AI to have Edith Piaf's voice narrating this new project, it is nevertheless a delicate balancing act when combining new technology with heritage artists. And it was imperative, he said, that we worked closely with Edith's estate and handled this project with the utmost respect. Of course, we would always assume that a major music company exploiting its catalogue would only do so by showing respect for that artist.
Of course. And he went on, her story is one that deserves to be told. And through this film, we'll be able to connect with a whole new audience and inspire a new generation of fans. I mean, yeah, sure, her story deserves to be told. It was already told in quite a famous and successful biopic, but I guess it didn't contain an AI Edith Piaf. So was that film really worthwhile? Arguably, no. I think any film that contains acting is of no value whatsoever. So, yeah. I look forward to this AI version of Edith Piaf telling us a story we kind of already know.
So you're saying that as the music industry and presumably the movie industry, we suspect in the years ahead are going to be releasing endless new documentaries and biopics with AI-generated versions of dead performers telling their story. As each of those projects comes to fruition, any previous projects that involved human actors should be deleted from the archives. Is that what you're proposing?
That is exactly what I'm saying. And I think everyone listening will agree.
I'm sure they will. Although I guess, before we make any such bold decision, and obviously this is the forum where such decisions would be made, we ought to check whether or not the output of these projects is any good. And as it currently stands, this biopic with the AI-generated Edith Piaf. You can't watch it, although they have done, I believe, a short sort of proof of concept clip.
Yes.
But the full project is yet to go into full production. But it will be coming along sometime soon. I think that's what they said. Is that right?
Yeah, they were a bit vague. They just announced that. I mean, the announcement was that they had agreed a deal with the Edith Piaf estate to back this project. So that was the announcement this week, and then they were a little bit vague about exactly when the film is coming. I mean, when I say a little bit vague, they just didn't say. So, but they are planning to make it. That's the news.
So it could be next week. It could be next year. It could be in the year.
I don't think it'd be next week.
2589. Who knows? But we're not here to talk about this week, even though if we were here to talk about it this week, it would kind of make sense, because this has ended up being a bit of an AI special edition of Setlist. That's partly, of course, in honour of the fact that I was at the Runda Digital Day in Belgrade earlier this week, taking part in a panel all about music and AI, and Andy likes to honour my conference engagements with the Setlist topics. That's why we're doing it, right?
Is it? I think it's just that pretty much everything that happened this week was somehow AI related. Nothing else happened of any interest.
Yeah, even the most interesting thing, me being at the Runda Digital Day in Belgrade, was AI related. So I take that point. I'm not still in Belgrade. This is the first set list in a while, I think, where I'm not recording from a hotel room, which in theory should mean that I shouldn't be as echoey as I have been in recent weeks. Although, if I remember rightly, the last time I recorded an edition of Setlist from my permanent base, where everything is set up to get decent audio, it was the worst audio I've produced for this podcast in months.
Yeah, I did do a lot of work to make that sound still bad. So, yeah, hopefully this one goes better.
So let's see if by being back at base, I don't have a very loud sort of windy hiss in the background. Maybe I should have stayed in Belgrade and done it from my hotel room. Who knows? But Andy Malt, we're doing an AI special of Setlist. So what kind of things are we going to be talking about?
Well, later on, we'll be discussing YouTube's plans to get AI-generated clones both off and onto its platform. But first, Stability AI's Vice President of Audio, Ed Newton-Rex, has resigned in protest at the tech company's position that the training of generative AI models constitutes fair use under American copyright law. He explained his decision on the social media platform formerly known as Twitter, saying companies worth billions of dollars are, without permission, training generative AI models on creators' works, which are then being used to create new content that in many cases can compete with the original works. I don't see how this can be acceptable in a society that has set up the economics of the creative arts such that creators rely on copyright.
Yeah, so this was a really interesting intervention in a debate that we actually discussed on a recent edition of Setlist. So regular listeners will remember that the copyright industries, so the movie business, the media business, and of course the music industry, they are all adamant that consent must be sought before any generative AI models are trained with existing content, which basically means if you want to develop a generative AI tool and you're going to do that by training it with commercially released music, before you start doing that, you must go to the copyright owners. So whoever owns the rights and the recordings and the songs contained in that music, you must go and get those copyright owners' consent, which of course means you're going to have to negotiate a licensing deal and hand over a chunk of money, potentially a big chunk of money, to the music industry, or if you're doing images, to the photography industry, if you're doing video, to the movie industry, and so on and so forth. So that is the position of the copyright industries. But we know, because we discussed this on a recent edition of Setlist, that many AI companies argue they do not need to get that consent to make use of existing works when training their generative AI models. And that is generally based on the argument that in some countries at least, probably not all countries, but at least some parts of the world, copyright law provides exceptions which apply to the training of AI. That is the argument. So it would usually be some sort of text or data mining exception that does exist in some copyright systems around the world. And they would say, because of that, we do not need consent. We do not need to negotiate a licensing deal. In the context of the US, where obviously a lot of these companies are actually based, the argument would be a fair use argument. Fair use being a concept in American copyright law, which is similar to the more specific exceptions that you find in other copyright systems around the world. It's a slightly tricky, ambiguous concept that basically says if somebody makes use of copyright works in a way that is fair use, then that entity does not need to get permission from the copyright owner, does not need to negotiate a licensing deal. And so from an American concept, what most AI companies are now saying is training AI with existing content, including music, is fair use. We do not need consent. We do not need to negotiate a licensing deal.
So there are now a number of lawsuits working their way through the US courts that will put all of that to the test. Meanwhile, as we discussed recently on Setlist, the US Copyright Office is undertaking a review of how AI interacts with copyright. And earlier this month, it published the thousands of submissions that have been made to that review. And that included submissions from various big players in generative AI, including Stability AI, which wrote in its submission, "We believe that training AI models is an acceptable, transformative, and socially beneficial use of existing content that is protected by the fair use doctrine and furthers the objectives of copyright law, including to promote the progress of science and useful arts."
Yeah, so Stability AI's position regarding training AI and fair use very much in black and white, on the record as a result of its submission to the US Copyright Office, which brings us to the statement that was made this week by Ed Newton Rex. Now, Ed has been involved in the generative AI domain for a number of years. He spoke at a number of music conferences 5 or 6 years ago, the last time that AI was a bit of a talking point in the music industry, because he was the founder of a company called DukeDeck, which was one of the innovators in music making AI a few years ago. That company was ultimately sold to TikTok. And then he spent some time at TikTok owner ByteDance working on their generative AI projects. Then he took on the role of VP of audio at Stability. And Stability AI, although best known for its image generation tools, back in September, it launched Stable Audio, which was its first commercial product for music and sound generation. And we should note that that particular generative AI product that came from Stability had been trained on a library of music that had been licensed by the company, which means that permission was sought from the owners of the copyright in that music, and there was a deal done, a financial deal done around that. So actually, in the context of that product, Stability did go out and get a license. But of course, its general position in the paper submitted to the Copyright Office is, we may have done a deal, but we didn't have to, because training AI is fair use.
Yeah, but then in his statement on Wednesday, Ed Newton Rex said he has resigned from Stability AI because "I don't agree with the company's opinion that training generative AI models on copyrighted works is fair use." He noted that there are lots of people at Stability who are deeply thoughtful about these issues and added that he is proud that we were able to launch a state-of-the-art AI music generation product trained on licensed training data, sharing the revenue from the model with rights holders. However, he confirmed, he was unable to change the prevailing opinion on fair use at the company, and that opinion, he reckons, is wrong. He said, "One of the factors affecting whether the act of copying is fair use, according to Congress, is the effect of the use upon the potential market for or value of the copyrighted work. Today's generative AI models can clearly be used to create works that compete with the copyrighted works they are trained on. So I don't see how using copyrighted works to train generative AI models of this nature can be considered fair use."
At the end of his statement, he confirmed that he still believes in the potential positive impact of generative AI in the music space, but he added that he can only support generative AI that doesn't exploit creators by training models which may replace them on their work without permission. He then wrote right at the end of his statement that he doesn't believe he is the only person working in AI that has these concerns around the position that the big companies are making regarding fair use. And he said that he hoped that other people within that sector will speak up either internally within the companies or in public like he is doing, so that those technology companies realise that exploiting creators can't be the long-term solution in generative AI. Needless to say, this statement has been welcomed by the music community, by labels, by artists, by songwriters, because it is very much backing up their position that while the music industry agrees that there are great opportunities in the generative AI space and they are eager to work with technology companies on those opportunities, they cannot allow those tech companies to be stating that they can actually make use of music in training their models without permission because of things like fair use.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
And finally, on this edition of Setlist, sticking firmly, as promised, with AI, YouTube made a number of announcements in that domain this week. One, that it would work with its music industry partners to allow them to request the removal of AI-generated music content that mimics the voice of a specific artist without permission. But also, the very next day, that it is piloting a new feature that will allow creators on the platform to make short music clips for the use in their own videos, which include AI-generated vocals that imitate specific musicians. Though obviously those ones will be licensed.
Yeah, so I guess the initial announcement that YouTube made saying that its label and distribution partners will be able to request the removal of unofficial tracks which have AI-generated vocals that imitate specific musicians. In a way, that was responding to calls by the music industry and particularly the majors from earlier this year. We all remember that Ghostwriter track that had the fake Drake and Weeknd vocals, and that went up initially on TikTok and then on YouTube and then popped up on the streaming services and then got taken down from the streaming services, seemingly because Universal Music, as Drake and the Weeknd's label, requested that it be removed. And we know that the major record companies were saying to the digital platforms, you need to keep an eye out for tracks being uploaded that use AI to imitate the vocals of our artists. We don't want those appearing on the platforms. Now, legally speaking, I guess from a label perspective, if you are releasing a track with fake Drake vocals, the chances are that the AI tool you use to do that had to process Drake recordings. And as previously discussed on this edition of Setlist, the labels would argue if you're going to process Drake recordings in order to imitate Drake's voice, you need to get a license from whoever owns the copyright in those recordings, probably Universal Music. So I guess there are copyright grounds potentially for getting that content taken down. But then also there's been a lot of conversation in recent months around other rights that artists have, things like publicity rights and personality rights, that probably give them control over their voice and their vocal style beyond copyright. But anyway, we know that the music industry has been saying to digital platforms where people are uploading these tracks with AI-generated voices that sound like Drake or Oasis or whoever, you need to take them down. So yeah, it was YouTube saying, okay, we are responding to that in the same way that we have the Content ID system that means you can get content removed when it outright infringes your copyright. We'll also have a system where you can remove the fake vocal tracks as well, albeit with some constraints. And YouTube did also talk about the fact that there will be a policy in place as to when it would act on such a request and when it wouldn't. So for example, it might be that if it was a really obvious parody, so no one could think or be confused into thinking that it was officially Drake's vocals, for example, let's say it was a Drake-style voice in a video that was clearly mocking Drake, it might be on those grounds, even if Drake and his label said, I want that track taken down, they wouldn't do it. But anyway, YouTube introduced that. But although it felt like that was YouTube responding to requests from the music industry, we also knew that YouTube was developing its own generative AI product to create vocals in the style of musicians, working with artists and labels on that. So it seemed pretty clear from the start that this was also partly YouTube protecting its own interests, because it doesn't want people distributing content made with other vocal clone tools, which are not licensed and unofficial. They would prefer people using its tools. So it seemed from the start there was a little self-serving element in this announcement. Although, I must admit, I didn't expect them to then put that vocal clone service live the very next day, which is what they did.
Yeah, this new tool is called DreamTrack. It's backed by Universal Music and Warner Music, and it's part of YouTube's ongoing collaboration with various partners in the music industry to investigate possible uses of generative AI in music. And this new feature will allow YouTubers to create short clips generated based on text prompts that they put in. So, I don't know. Right, I want Drake to sing about cheese, because who wouldn't want that? Brie, probably. I don't know.
I'm willing to believe there's a whole community of YouTubers that make cheese-based content. Seems like a sort of thing that would be on the YouTube
platform. Oh, they must be.
I've never gone to check.
But yeah, cheese YouTube is real. So that's the basic idea. It's currently still at the experimental stage, but the examples that they put out with this announcement still looked pretty impressive. It's not available to everyone. Right now, there's about 100 US-based creators who have access to the tool, and they are able to create vocals in the style of artists including Charlie Puth, John Legend, Sia, T-Pain, Demi Lovato, Troye Sivan, Charlie XCX, Alec Benjamin, and Papoose.
Yeah, so it is very much a pilot at the moment, working with a relatively small number of artists, and then the tool, as you say, available to a relatively small number of YouTube creators. But nevertheless, an interesting development, and YouTube working with its partners, mainly at the moment its major label partners, in developing these tools, and presumably as part of the pilot working out if this was to be rolled out more generally, so that pretty much any creator on YouTube could use this tool, and presumably many, many more artists' voices would be available. Presumably they need to figure out a commercial model for that. What would be the revenue benefit to the artists and the labels? But an interesting development nonetheless. Not long after all of that was announced, Robert Kinkle, former YouTube exec and now boss of Warner Music, which, as you mentioned, is a partner on this project, bigged it all up in a call with his investors, commending YouTube and Google and Alphabet for collaborating with the music industry on all of this. It's interesting, isn't it? What, 5-6 years ago, when it came to the expansion of user-generated content and the use of music in user-created videos, for a while, YouTube was the enemy of the music industry, but it does feel like in the AI domain, maybe they are going to be the friends of the music industry. And in his investor call, Robert Kinkle was saying that this is a great initiative by YouTube. We're glad they're working with us on it. And then he sort of, well, I guess because some people are saying that the AI moment in music is on par with the arrival of the file sharing services in the late 1990s. Are we at a point of revolution in music rights like we were in 1998 and 1999? And he was sort of honing in on that point by saying, imagine what would have happened if, back in the late 90s, early 2000s, those pesky file sharing companies had come to the music industry offering to collaborate. How great would that have been?
Yeah, his exact quote was, imagine if the file sharing companies had come to the music industry and said, would you like to experiment with this new tool that we built and see how we can work together? I mean, yeah, imagine that. Pretty sure some of the file sharing companies did do that and the record industry told them to fuck off.
Yeah, if we go back, what, I guess now 23 years, when Napster was what everyone was talking about in the music industry, you may remember, you probably don't remember, I remember, that in the latter part of Napster, the original file-sharing Napster, when it was all falling apart and the litigation was mounting, the original BMG, one of the major record companies at the time, actually did sit down with the Napster guys and say, is there some business model we can work on here? Can we turn this into an opportunity? BMG invested a little bit of money into Napster. And the other major record companies responded to that by suing BMG and saying you're helping Napster, therefore you're liable for Napster's copyright infringement. So yeah, I think, actually, there was at least a little bit of appetite in the file-sharing world 20, 25 years ago to collaborate with the music industry. It was more on the music industry's side that there was not an appetite for such collaborations. But nevertheless, it is good, I guess, that YouTube and hopefully others are collaborating with the music industry, or at least the major record companies. I think that the independent community and especially the wider artist and songwriter community are getting increasingly annoyed that, just like has happened with streaming, all of these innovations are happening and there isn't actually that much information out there for the artist community as to exactly how all this is working. I mean, obviously, the artists who are actively part of this will be very much informed, I would hope, but more generally in the artist community, another load of transparency issues are mounting. But I'm pleased that former YouTube exec Robert Kinkle is pleased that YouTube is collaborating with Warner Music on all of this.
But that's all we've got time for on this edition of Setlist. If you want to read more about anything we've discussed here, you will find links in the show notes. Don't forget to subscribe to the show. In fact, no, I'm going to try some... reverse psychology this week. Don't subscribe to the show. Do not. Do not rate it and do not review it. And don't email us, whatever you do. Don't email us at setlist@completemusicupdate.com. Do not do that. It's my reverse psychology there.
Well done.
See if it works. Setlist is the music business podcast from CMU. It's presented by Andy Malt and Chris Cook. And for more on CMU, do not go to completemusicupdate.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, PayLater, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loan subject to approval in available locations.